Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live, and I am so grateful to be sitting in the studio here today. And joining me today, Mylon Yurkovich and Chris Williams, and here they are. And hi, guys. You guys doing okay?
We are doing well. How about you, Chris?
Yeah, I'm doing great.
I can only speak for me. I'm doing well. I should have started out with I.
What's the? It's the royal we, right?
It was the royal we.
We're all doing well.
The editorial plural.
Well, happy Wednesday to everybody, and I want I just want to suggest to you, if you want to see what we're doing, we're on Facebook Live at this very second, and you could look at the program on Facebook Live. We're not dead. And I'm just back from last week. I was at the National Religious Broadcasters Association meeting, and it was really quite an experience. Many giants there that I got to see. One of my favorite people in the world is David Jeremiah, and just to talk to David and hear him say something like, I stay up with what you're doing over there at New Life. What a great thing, you know. And it was so many people there. And we got to hear the Attorney General, Bill Barr. And I really can't recommend more for you. If you want to spend 20 minutes reading something that will help you understand democracy. He did a talk, and the transcript is at his website, and it was so brilliant that I understood half of it, and it just really did lay it out for everybody of what is democracy and what's it all about, and the values there. And one of the things he said is that the Greek system was based on control of the people, and that democracy is actually based on the teachings of Saint Augustine. Because he believed that we should be able to transform from within under the power of God rather than wait for government to transform. Mm. I mean, I've never heard anybody say that.
I haven't either.
And so anyway, it's just a wonderful affirmation of our Christian beliefs without putting down anyone else's beliefs. He's just talking about history of the world and how we evolved into becoming America. So I don't want anybody to think that's political. It's not. It's governmental, I think you could say, or it's historical if you take a look at that. And if you want to join us on the program, we're actually, this is a taped program because we are in a satellite outage. At the time of day that our broadcast goes live, a couple of times a year, there is interference with the satellites that make it live at exactly the time we're on. So no need to call us right now, but we would love for you to call 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. One final note. I preached this past Sunday, Saturday and Sunday, at Northview Church, and you can see that. I think we'll have it on our website by now, if not soon. But we have 13 campuses, and at the campus I preached, we had over 35 people make decisions for Christ.
Wow.
And maybe you'll see it and you'll say, hey, I know somebody that maybe could benefit from that. And we would love for more people to go right marching into the kingdom of God. I think that would be a pretty amazing thing. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com. You can see us on the app, Facebook Live, all those different things. We're there, and we love you and we care about you, and we want to help you in any way we possibly can. I've got some calls on the screen. When we come back, we're going to go right to those calls. I'm really glad that you're here. And thank you, every person that supports this ministry. You are making a difference. We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Hi, and welcome back. By the way, I just found out that in all the campuses this weekend at Northview, which doesn't account for people watching online, and they don't even have all the campuses in yet, but over 100 people came to Christ this weekend at Northview. That's a pretty exciting thing. So I hope you'll watch that message when it comes up on our website, or you can go to northviewchurch.us. How about Rosie? Camarillo, California, KKLA is the station. Rosie, how are you today?
Hey, hi, I'm great. Thank you so much for being there for me today.
Sure, what's
going
on? I
really need some help, but my 60-year-old sister, I'm so concerned because she's some kind of undiagnosed problem. She's got a lot of fears and things, and she's staying with us rent-free for at least a year, and she won't go to counseling or get a job, and she stays in the room and won't even talk to me most of the time. Just, you know, if I talk to her, she just gets upset and yells at me. And she tells us we can't tell her what to do. Only God can. So am I doing more harm than good to hold on to her here? And I want to know what I can do to help her since she won't talk to me.
Okay. Great. Well, I'm glad you called. I've got some thoughts, and we deal with these kind of situations all the time where a family feels like they're being held hostage by someone that's their guest. And it just doesn't go well for anybody. And I only want to start with what you're thinking here. Somebody that really is in trouble, but it's not getting better.
Rosie, what a great way to start the show. Because you are risking coming in and talking about something that all of us face frequently in various forms. And I'm so sorry you're going through this. It's very difficult. One of my favorite books written is by a man by the name of Edwin Friedman, and it is called A Failure of Nerve. And it's about organizations, family systems that do not have, they collectively orbit around the most unhealthy person. And as a group, there's a collective failure of nerve to speak up and say, no, we're not going to rotate around this individual anymore. And it's precisely that issue that we must work on and think about here. So the answer to the question is, you've proven that there is no service being done to her here this particular way. So to rise up, have courage to say this is not good, that we need to get resources to help you. They have crisis. The county that you live in should have a crisis intervention team that could come out and evaluate. If you called social services and ask about a crisis service team or an assessment team, I would highly recommend that. And yes, she needs to go, and because she's taking advantage of you and it's perpetuating her mental health and the lack thereof, and her isolation is horrible, and then she's treating you horribly.
And, you know, the first step might be to say to her, I need to talk with you for a minute without you reacting. And here is what we've decided here, that things aren't getting better for you. And, in fact, it's so bad that even though we're helping you, you're not even able to be kind. And so we want to develop a plan. That's our first choice. So let's sit down and talk about the options that are available. Then I think, you know, when she, and she probably won't be willing to sit down and talk about that plan, but you've given her the chance. Now you're going to have to, I think, really go to the next step, like Mylon's saying, and going to have somebody intervene. Chris, your thoughts here?
Yeah, I think it's just a reflection, but I want to drive the point home a little bit. So, Rosie, would it be accurate to say that your sister is profoundly stuck in a dark place?
Yes.
Okay, you're housing the stuck darkness.
Yes.
Okay, so I want it to be that clear. so that that doesn't work in your home, and it also doesn't work for your sister.
True.
And so what Steve was saying about, hey, now we need the courage to reach out for help like you did today, construct an action plan, and then follow through with that action plan. Because this situation is not helping you, and it's definitely not helping your sister. No. It's just keeping her stuck in the position that she's in.
Keeping her stuck. True.
Yeah.
But I have no idea. I did call the crisis team, and I gave them her number. So maybe they should talk to me and not her, because I don't think she answered her phone or whatever.
Of course. Not. Yeah.
No, I think that's right. They should talk with you now.
And I think it's important that you establish really strong boundaries around her and her behavior and what you're willing to put up with and willing not to put up with. You know, so Rosie, do you lock your doors at night?
Yes, after everybody's home.
Yeah. So why do you lock your doors at night?
For strangers, so they don't come in.
Yes. So danger doesn't come into your home. The locking of the doors is a boundary because what you believe inside is really valuable. Mm-hmm. I make that point because your home and you and your well-being and everyone that lives in there is valuable, and that's the purpose of boundaries, is to protect that which is valuable. So she's bringing all this stuff into your home, creating danger.
At no point does the Bible ever have anybody enabling evil. And that's what I think you're sensing. Hey, I can't enable this to continue like this. And that's a really good thing. It's just a very, very difficult thing to do. So
I have one more thought here.
We pray for you. And also, part of that plan could be joining Chris and me for her on finding freedom. Because it's people that are stuck in some area, not necessarily as stuck as she is, that walk away feeling like they have a brand new understanding of life, God, and the future. Mylon, you had another thing?
Yes. Rosie, make sure you have a deadbolt on your bedroom door.
Boy, that is...
Myself or my things?
No, just on your bedroom door. You know, when somebody is this dark and they're isolated, they can get darker and darker, and we just, you know... Adding on to Chris's point, that you have, and the metaphorical reason why we have locks, I would literally say make sure you have a lock on your bedroom door.
Thank you.
I'm glad that you called.
But, yeah, okay, thank you.
So here's what I'm going to do for you.
Yeah,
go ahead.
A new understanding, So I just want to know how you get to that new understanding. That sounds good.
Well, I'm going to do this. I'll send you Take Your Life Back, and I think that's going to help you with a lot of things. You know, it's going to help you value your own life and become your own decision maker, which you're doing now, and not be held hostage by somebody. I'm going to send you Healing as a Choice, a book that you could give to her and say maybe this would help. I think it actually could. All right, let's go to Rachel, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. WFIL is the station. How you doing?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a concern about my husband. He's been employed with a firm for about 5-6 years, and they hired a new manager, and my husband is experiencing a lot of bullying from this manager.
Okay.
Made an official complaint to the HR, and after that complaint, he's been retaliating against him by isolating him from the team. He doesn't communicate with him at all. It's a really bad situation that he's going through. He doesn't have any job lined up right now, but he's thinking about giving his notice in. Is that a good idea?
I tell you what I think is a good idea is I would, if you could, I would contact an attorney, or I would at least contact the labor government agency about employee rights and things like that before you give up a good paying job because you're being mistreated, I think you don't want to jump. And the other thing is, it is always easier to find a job while you have a job rather than not having a job. So if I was him, I would be, if I don't want to work there, I'd be looking for a job. And there are one of the things, having employed a lot of people over the years, I kind of look for people that have a good history, solid history, but because of a change in direction of an organization or a ministry, they want to leave, or because somebody's in a leadership role that shouldn't be. That's a really good reason to pick up a great employee that has a good track record. So I would encourage him not to walk off the job. I would start to look for a job, but I'd also start to look for what are my rights, because there may be some settlement there once he does leave that you're entitled to because of this mistreatment. Thoughts over here, guys? What are you thinking?
I think two things. I think first, does where he work have an HR department, human resources?
Yes.
And has he utilized them?
He went once.
Oh, he went once. Okay.
Yeah, he did. And nothing is being done about it.
I think a couple of things. It does sound like it's a bad culture. And when there's a bad culture, it contaminates everything. And it can contaminate our relational life and our home life. And being in part of difficult jobs or difficult job environments are just overall not good for our health. I would encourage him, obviously, to be looking for another job. But I also want to encourage him to do something that's really difficult. And that is call out the truth. To be speaking to people above him, to be speaking to people around, anyone who listen, here, I need a meeting, calling a meeting maybe with his boss's boss, and saying, I need to tell you what's going on here. That could be incredibly scary, especially when our paycheck feels like it's dependent upon it. But he sounds like he's already at a point of no return. He already wants to leave. So really, the stakes aren't as high as we think they are for just being able to call out the truth. And listen, as a person who runs an organization, it is so important for me to hear from people what's going on and what are people experiencing and what the culture is like. If they withheld that information, I wouldn't know that there's a problem and I wouldn't know how to correct it.
Right. Now, he also went to the vice president of the company, too.
Uh-huh.
This is his boss's boss, too. And it's been about 5 months already.
And nothing's changed?
Nothing's kept changed.
For whatever reason,
ignoring him.
Huh? For whatever reason, the things that are set up within the company are not helping him. So that's why you have to go outside and get some help. And he obviously is being patient with this. Another thing is for him to sit down with the guy that is doing this and to say, I want you to be aware of some things that are really uncomfortable for me.
Okay.
Before you came, no one ever said these things to me. Since you've come, in front of some other people or privately, here are some things that you have said to me that are a problem. And if he were to be fired because he presented the truth, the objective truth, he would have all sorts of rights on his side to get help, just so he's truthful, objective. But I think it is always good to be able to sit down, make an appointment, sit down and say, here's the way it was before, here was my treatment by this organization, here is what has happened since then, and I am asking for you to treat me in a different way. Has he ever done that with this man?
No, he hasn't.
Okay, well, that's probably something he'll need to do. And Mylon, your thought there?
So, Rachel, has this ever happened to your husband before?
No.
Okay. So I happen to have a personal friend who is a labor relations lawyer.
There you go.
And you would really want to call someone who specializes in labor relations. Mm-hmm. And many times they are incredibly awesome at defending the worker. And when HR gets a letter from a labor relations attorney, they pay attention.
They sure do. Okay. Really glad that you called. Our whole program is about labor relations. The work it takes in a labor of love and how to make that better every day. We'll be back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Many of you know we, from time to time, movies that stir things up in folks, we'll support them. Our 800 number will be at the end. We did that with I Can Only Imagine. There's a brand new movie. It's all about the life of Jeremy Camp and some things that happened to him. The title is I Still Believe, and I want to play a little clip of an interview I did with the producer. His name is Kevin Downs. He joined us for one of our events down in Southern California. Terry, let's play that first segment of that interview about the movie, which opens March 13th in theaters, I Still Believe. One of the great privileges is getting to be part of a great movie, and great movie and Christian movie can actually work. And I want to tell you about a brand new one. It's I Still Believe. We're talking to the producer, Kevin Downs. This has got to be one of the best things you guys have ever done, don't you think? I mean, I'm not big on every Christian movie. I warn people if the acting's bad. This is a great one.
Well, you know, you're certainly proud. You know, every film you make is kind of like a child, so I hate to pick favorites, but I'm really, really proud of this one. It's a story that I have been aware of for about seven or eight years, and I believe God had the perfect timing for us to want to tell it. You know, Jeremy Camp, who many people know because of his music and a lot of his worship music people are familiar with on Sunday mornings. His story is just so inspiring, and that's what's got our focus, is we want to tell true stories like I Can Only Imagine or Woodlawn, our past two films, that are just inspiring and bring a breath of fresh air and hope into people's lives.
It's a gripping story, and what I love, you know, it is a hopeful story, but it's also based in reality. And reality is, you know, God doesn't protect us from painful things. And yet, in the midst of it all, there is hope. You know, I think there's this upper story that God's working out, and you've told the lower story down here and the upper story that God's doing. And it really is inspirational. Jeremy, he had to be really pleased with what you guys have done here.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, when we went and showed it to his family at their house, and not really knowing what to expect, obviously Jeremy and his wife, 80, were on set for the entire thing. And but, you know, when you shoot a film, you shoot it out of order, and so you can't really get concept you know, you wrap your mind around it. So when we showed it to him, literally, I think we had to stop the film three or four times because they just had to regain their composure. Mm-hmm. And there were so many tears, and there were so many great conversations. And when the film was over, he just looked at me, and it was like a sense of relief. It was actually a really perfect moment. And I can't imagine having my life made into a movie. So I admire him for wanting to kind of go through this process, but it was a dream of his from living through the story where Melissa told him, look, if one life is changed through my story, then it was all worth it. And it's really is one of the revolving points around the entire story, and we're really proud of that.
Well, one of the great things about the movie, we'll play another clip from that interview later, but one of the great things is that it doesn't all get tied up in a nice little bow like so many unrealistic films might do. Get some people. Go March 13th. It makes a huge, huge difference. These guys know how to make movies. It is really, you won't be embarrassed if you took a non-Christian to that movie. It really is pretty amazing. I'm going to go to Cherry from Bowie, Maryland. WAVA is the station. Hi, Cherry. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Excellent. How can we help today?
Yeah, so I have a question. I've been working on my relationship with my dad for about 6 years now. My parents got divorced when I was 15, and I feel like when that happened, it kind of like opened the floodgates of, we don't have a normal family dynamic. And so over the last 5 years, I've probably like once a year had like a really tough conversation with him, starting with, you know, like, I feel like the way my life is your fault, and kind of got worse each time we had a conversation. But eventually we've gotten to a place where we're way better than we were, and we can have a conversation, and we're starting to build a healthy relationship. Mm-hmm. And so my question is, I feel like even though I've made all this progress, like every time, probably every few years, I get to a point where I'm like, another wound kind of opens up, and I'm like, wow, didn't think about that. I don't feel like, I feel like I've been doing all this work, and I got into this place where I feel like really discouraged, like, wow, like, does it even matter? You know, so recently this Sunday, we had someone come and speak, and they were talking about how the lack of affection that we get as a child affects how we operate as adults. And I realized that, like, my dad is not an affectionate person at all. And so right now I'm trying to figure out how to navigate building like this healthy physical touch thing with my dad. I'm 28. He's like 60 something. So like trying to figure that out has been like really frustrating. And so also feeling like the negative effects of that spill out into other relationships in my life. And I'm like, okay, am I dating because I'm really dating to get to know this person, or I'm dating because I'm looking for this type of affection that I didn't get from my dad?
Great question. Music starting, and we'll give you some help from this. You know, I'm really thrilled to hear that somebody was preaching, and they were talking about some very practical things that play out in our lives. And so we'll give you some insight on that right after this. A lot of people never ask the question, why? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Or am I locked in? What's the motive? And when I go to see my counselor, we're looking at how, Steve, are you loving well, and are your motives pure? That doesn't mean I might have a negative or evil motive, but it might be, am I compensating for something? Am I going in the right direction for the right reasons? Am I free? Those are all the things we need to be dealing with. We'll talk about it right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of 4 devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry, with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Glad you're with us here today. And right now we're talking with Cherry. Mylan, this is something that we've talked about often, and so she's wondering about this, the lack of physical touch, that Dad provided, and how is that impacting her life now? And I think, is this right, Cherry? You're wanting to know if you should go back and with your father experience or try to connect with healthy physical touch at this stage? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Mylan.
Cherry, thank you for your call. It's a bold call, and it's a healthy call. You're asking all the right questions, and I'm just very pleased with that. I would say two things. Number one, you must adjust your expectations and ask the question, what will my dad ultimately be able to tolerate in a relationship? if you put expectations upon him or hope that the relationship will yield something in you that will fulfill deep desires and somehow he's going to learn to connect with you at very high, sophisticated levels of intimacy and emotional connection, that may or may not be true. And I'm saying you need to really just take it day by day and see what he's capable of doing and assess what his capacities are. Because, you know, we idealize and fantasize about what things could look like, and we have to adjust that. And then we're and I'm saying this because you mentioned disappointment. And, of course, the whole story is disappointing. Your whole childhood is disappointing. But if we impose expectations that are unrealistic in the present, we can be super disappointed added to that. And then you ask a phenomenal question. I teach parenting classes all the time and talk to all age groups. And people with deprivations tend to seek things. So if I haven't had physical touch and attention for males, like my dad, that can propel me in an insatiable desire to be seen and touched by men. And then all of a sudden, I am really struggling because I get into all kinds of trouble. So you're asking beautiful questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what should she do? What do you think she should do with dad? Is it something separate from dad?
Well, I think it has to do with dad, but I have a suggestion.
It's both.
I have a story and a suggestion. Cherry, you're like me. You have this dad that you've really, really wanted and possibly even needed your entire life. But then you got the dad that you have. And there is a painful gap in between the dad that you want and the dad that keeps showing up. Mm-hmm. And as Mylon was saying, the dad that you want, you're setting yourself up for disappointment because of the expectations. That was a lifelong part of me and my journey, of growing up with an alcoholic father who couldn't show up for me, in fact, was not a part of my daily life from 8 and on. Later on in my life, as I kept blaming him for all of my problems, including my addiction issues, later on I was working with a sponsor, and he showed me how much I was holding my dad responsible for my poor behavior. Mm. And then he made this suggestion in my recovery. He said, you need to go and make an amend to your dad. And that was really, really confusing for me because I was like, my dad's hurt me. What do I have to amend a problem for? What do I have to mend with him? Mm. And he showed me that I've held my dad responsible for my problems as an adult, and I've also held my dad to a standard he will never, ever meet. Mm. And I'll never forget that Denny's in Scottsdale, Arizona, when I'm having a breakfast with my dad, and I'm telling him, I am so sorry. I am so sorry that I have resented you all of these years. I've held you responsible for my problems, and I've expected you to be something that you just can't be. And from this day forward, I want to work on just accepting you as you are. Mm-hmm. And that began a journey of healing within me where I could let go, release my dad into the hands of God and forgive him and not keep putting my pain on the chopping block of what he couldn't be for me.
Wow.
That's awesome. That really is important. And so many of us have been hurt, but at some point we have to say, okay, but I've got to rise above this. And I think that's what Cherry is doing. The issue of realistic expectations in the healing process, so important. Or you end up kind of putting salt on a wound, making it much, much worse.
And so as Cherry would process then, you ask what to do next. Yeah. I would process with a person who's a therapist who's really trained in trauma and recovery. There is a lot of hurt here inside the little girl that's still inside this 28-year-old woman. And to really talk those things through and ask, you know, what is reality? What can I expect from my dad? And even though we have progress, you know, what I had to learn, Cherry, as well with my parents was, what's as good as it's going to get? And they only had so much capacity.
Yeah.
And I had to accept that I was not going to get anything more from them.
Yeah.
Even though I could then heal too, Chris, just kind of like you're saying, very much a similar story.
Well, Cherry, I want to send you Mylon's book, How We Love. It's going to give you so much insight into this. You're going to be blown away by it, I think. Also, I want to invite you to come to Finding Freedom, where these are the kinds of things that we help people deal with. And you go right to work, not just hearing us speak, but you're with a clinician helping you deal with these very, very difficult issues. And you leave, I really believe, if you'll do the work, you will leave with the promise of the workshop. You will find the freedom that you've been looking for. So I'll see if maybe, and if you have any kind of financial issues there, folks, we've got people who have paid for scholarships to things like this. So call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE for this, or a counselor in your area. Speaking of scholarships, Larry Sonnenberg's in the studio. Larry, let's talk about folks that want to help somebody, that want to support somebody going to something like this or any of the other intensives or anything in support of New
Life. Sure. And while we're talking, while you mentioned Finding Freedom, let me give you a real brief testimony from the last someone went recently.
Before Restore, this past weekend.
No, this one was, Restore was fabulous. I mean, I got to be there Sunday morning and greet the women on your behalf, Steve. It was just, these ladies are working, and they're in a lot of hurt, and they're getting help. Mm-hmm. And they found that they're not alone anymore, that they're not crazy the way they're thinking, or and that I had women come and talk to me both about their husbands that aren't doing anything, and others that are saying what a wonderful thing every man's battle was because it changed their husbands. So
so Restore is for women whose husbands have...
either should have gone or are going to every man's battle.
Well, and it's about sexual addiction, that they've been victims of their husband's
betrayed
sexual addiction.
Hearts.
Yes,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you have a testimony from the last Finding Freedom, though.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Before this weekend, my mind and heart were fearful and chaotic. It was like I was trying to keep my finger in the dike every minute to keep control. This weekend has been life-infusing. So much has been cleared up in my mind about who I am and who I am not. So pretty simple. If you invest in New Life, you're investing in folks finding a different way of life, one that centers around what God's plan is and how He wants you to live. And that's what we do. Whenever people intersect with this ministry, whether it's on radio, through counselors, through the workshops, through our resources, things change, and that's what we want you to support. And I don't know, Steve, if you've talked yet about the March, what we're given when people give this month.
No, I haven't yet.
Okay.
Well, you can do that.
The Come Near to God video collection. You can get either your choice, a DVD or a thumb drive. And it's got short talks by Steve, Alice Benton, Chris Williams, and Becky Brown. And these are talks that just help you get a little bit closer to God, and it's will encourage you in your drawing near to God. So on top of that, we need Club New Life people. We need folks to join Club New Life. And we've got a great thank you gift for that. It's the...
Let me tell them about it since I created it. It's a Life Recovery Bible with the workbook. And then there's a journal of the four seasons of recovery. The journal is an amazing gift. But the journal, the Bible with all its devotionals, and the general workbook. And then four new workbooks, one to help you grieve. Go through the Bible with a process of grieving. If you've gone through a divorce, there's one for you. An eating disorder, either way. And then if you're working to establish sexual integrity and keep it, there's a workbook for that. It's what we call our transformation kit. It's our way of saying thanks for a $30 donation a month. $30 a month, but we'll send you a Bible and a workbook and four specialty workbooks and a journal. That's our way of saying thank you. It's a library of transformation.
If you're a current Club New Life member, just add $10 a month and you'll get the same gift.
I'll send it to you. We'll be back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. I want to go right to our second half of that interview on the brand new movie. You're going to love this movie in theaters March 13th. Can't encourage you more to get some people to go. I Still Believe. Here's the last half of that interview. Well, you know, one of the things that I love about this, so many of the things that are done in Christian movie making, you know, an adult sees it and it affirms all the things that they believe and pushes all the right buttons and everything. But this really does have an appeal for younger people. That's what I love about it. Was that on purpose, or is that just
That was by design. I mean, we were really looking for something to reach out to kind of the next generation beyond us as the filmmakers. And it was one of the things when we were talking to pastors around the country, is that their heart's desire was to have a tool that they could use. And of course, in our world, the medium is movies, to be able to communicate and reach the next generation. And so with this one, you know, Jeremy, it's when he's like 18, 19, 20 years old. And, you know, we wanted to cast somebody that generation was so familiar with, but would also be on fire with what the purpose and the message of this movie is. And KJ App is that guy. He's a believer, and he's from New Zealand, and he just really got on board with Jeremy's story. The two of them are so alike in certain ways. It was really kind of uncanny. He was the perfect guy. And when we showed him the film for the first time, he was so proud of it. He had tears in his eyes. And he looked at us at the end of it, and he goes, you know, I've never done something in my life that I have ever been so proud of. This just makes me so happy.
Well, I can see why. I mean, he really is. He's very powerful in this. And, you know, if anybody saw I Can Only Imagine and you liked that, I think you're going to love this. Now, is there a way somebody could buy out a theater or do the group sale thing for a church? How does all that work?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, if you send a message, if you're on Facebook and social media, go to the I Still Believe movie Facebook page and let people know that you want to buy out a theater. You can also buy tickets already on the internet on movie ticket websites like Fandango. And they're for sale right now. The movie's going to play everywhere, literally on double the screen that I Can Only Imagine was on. It opens March 13th nationwide. You can also go to the movie's website, which is istillbelievemovie.com, and I believe there's a link there to be able to contact us about how to buy group tickets. We can help you facilitate the group tickets. We have access to group ticket prices, which will be beneficial too. So definitely want to go opening weekend. That's when we make a message and a statement to Hollywood that, hey, this is the type of movie that we want to support and enjoy. And right. Hey, listen, if you liked I Can Only Imagine and saw it, you're going to love this. And that's probably the biggest endorsement that I can give. So,
well, I want to encourage people to go. Kevin and his wife joined us for one of our New Life events, and we were so glad to see them there. And so they're part of us. Our phone number's on there. So we're so grateful that we get to be part of this, a little part of it, but, you know, it's wonderful to be part of a movie like this. God bless you. Thank you, Kevin, for letting me talk to you for a little bit. And we'll see you down the road, hopefully at another New Life experience. But I really pray, and I ask everybody to pray, this movie is going to be a big success and reach a lot of people.
Well, thank you so much. We enjoyed our time with New Life, and we consider it an honor to be partners and supporters of it.
Well, thank you. And once again, everybody, the movie, I Still Believe. Go see this movie. Support it on March the 13th. That first day, it's a big day. All right. Really glad that we got to co-sponsor that. I want to go to one final phone call here before we go today. And we'll do another program right after this. Karen from Danbury, Connecticut. Karen, I don't have a lot of time,
Hi.
But I wanted to get to another call, and yours is the one. How are you?
Hi, good, thank you. A little nervous. I've debated if I should call, but I finally did today. Just real quick, I won't take up too much of the time. Like the previous caller, my father was in the house, and he always worked, not abusive, but emotionally absent and physically absent, so I never had a really strong male figure. My question is, and I've been thinking for a long time, I've always sold myself short. I'm very hard on myself. If I make mistakes, I have fears. I always feel like I'm not good enough. I wanted to ask, and I don't want to do anything against God. Would it be okay? I know psychics are out. That's totally demonic. But would it be okay to see a licensed hypnotherapist? It's also a neuro-linguistic programming, and it says that she works with like a coach for job issues to rewire your brain to feel better, like self-limiting beliefs, weight loss, trauma, phobias, anxiety, okay. Depression. Is that
so
okay,
you're asking?
Or would that be
well,
God?
Well, let's see what our guys say. So what do you guys, based on what she said, is this safe or not safe?
Well, I'm going to go in a little bit different direction here. Karen, I want you to think about that message, not good enough. Got it?
Okay.
Now I want you to pay attention very quickly. We're very short on time. So in between your chin and your belly button, where do you carry that message?
Probably my whole being.
Okay.
I feel better when I get out. Okay.
So that message is a core shame message. And what the most common one, by the way, not good enough. And that thing has to be confronted.
Mm.
You have to know the story of that. How did that message get there? How, you know, who were the contributing players and cast members? And then how have you played a role in that message to get to where you are today? Because no matter what you do, and I know this, unfortunately, really, really well, that no matter what therapy or what interventions you use, if that message isn't confronted and then reworked into a something, transformed into something different, like you are deeply loved, and that story isn't played out, you'll remain stuck in endless cycles of not good enough.
Okay.
So my answer to that is whatever works, but I want to make sure, and I'm not like, you know, saying that there aren't bad therapies or dangerous things out there. There absolutely are. But I want you to be able to confront that message and understand it really well for with whatever you're going to use. And I would plug Finding Freedom for that.
And okay. Chris, you would also use a more direct route of facing that history.
Yes.
And it would be a blend between talk therapy, EMDR, and moving out of the places of trauma where our brain is locked into positions of fear and being seized up.
You know, when we have the ability to confront these painful dark sides of us and then overcome, the amount that that does for our faith and our confidence is indescribable. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm like, hey, get into it and go through it and watch what God does on the back end of it.
Right.
Okay, so okay. I hope that that's helpful to you. And, you know, sometimes hypnosis is actually used in a little bit different way as a form to relax so that you can talk about things you wouldn't. But I think the guys are giving you some really good advice here. I hope that you could consider face-to-face dealing with reality. And a jump start on all of this would be coming to Finding Freedom, and everybody could find out more about that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. This ministry is a transformation ministry, and we'll say thank you for joining Club New Life with a transformation kit. We've got some amazing, amazing resources at newlife.com, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. What is it you could do today so that tomorrow is going to be better? You need to thank somebody, ask for forgiveness.
Thanks for listening. You do it. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.